And welcome into In-Game Chat for Saturday, February the 1st, 2025. It is Season 19, Episode 4, and I am Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Yeah. We're here. We're live. We're clapping. There we go. We clapped. And we're done with that. Hey, if you want to get in touch with us, our Discord is running right now. I'm pointing over here for those of you watching on the video, because that's where the Discord screen is. But yeah, our Discord is running right now. You can get in touch with us that way, or ingamechat.net, which is our website. You can also find us on Twitter and Blue Sky. We're over at In-Game Chat there. Also on Facebook. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. Nobody sends us emails no more. You can stream the cam right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv. And find us. Search for In-Game Chat. We're right there. Faces on the screen. This one. That one. Say hello. We got a chat room there. You can join in and talk to us as well. Speaking of, there is somebody in chat right now. AC Wraith. I don't know when your birthday is, but it's close. It was either yesterday, or it's today, or it's tomorrow, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah. I wanted to say I'd shout you out, so happy birthday. I can't remember what he said it was. It's tomorrow! All right, yeah, AC Wraith's birthday tomorrow, so yeah. Happy birthday. I gave him a game. I was
physical or digital?
Digital. I was going through my Humble Bundle for the month, and one of those I already had. And so I went to my Steam account for the game, and I looked to see who had the game on their wish list. Like, who does, and AC Wraith had his, had it on his wish list.
Okay.
I said, okay, well, then he gets it. And then he told me his birthday is Sunday, and I thought, well, it's even better. That worked out quite well. So, there you go. Lethal Migraine says, what is Publix? It is a grocery store chain. But yeah, it's a grocery store chain. I think it originated
based
out of Florida.
Based
out of Florida there, so... That's why you see it watching the Southeast hockey games. So, yeah. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. Yeah, if you do the Humble Bundle thing, then, you know, there were some games in there for you. I've already started playing one of those, and we'll talk about it when we go through the games. RJ, what have you been playing?
For the most part, still working on First Ascendant. I've gotten my character up to max level, but now I'm in a kind of a pickle now. I'm trying to upgrade. Trying to upgrade my character more, but I'm trying to like apply types to my sockets for the character. It lets you install things with less cost than it used to be if you have the same type as the mod that you put on there. So I'm going through that, and I'm at a spot where I can max out again. I can choose another type for a slot, and I'm like, wait a minute. If I put too many of this type on here, I can't get the max mod that I want for a certain build that I like. So I'm going to have to either leave that blank and have myself cost more. I could never pick myself up again. Have I maxed out where I'm at, or do I have to like restart the entire process of picking the right type on these slots again, which is going to cost a lot?
I was going to say, that's a scary question to ask. Yeah. what's the answer to this? Yes or no?
Yeah, I'm going to have to see what all types of... different mods are out there, because I still have certain mods to pick up that I haven't found yet. And if I have the wrong polarity on there, it's going to cost too much to put on there, and I'm going to have to lose something in order to gain that, you know? So it's that type of dilemma that I'm going through with building a character up in this game. So outside of that, a little bit more of MLB The Show and Grand Theft Auto Online. I'm playing a little bit more of that here and there. Virtua Fighter 5, of course. But for the most part, cleaning. I had to clean the PS4.
Yeah.
So, you know,
you don't normally think about that with your consoles.
Yeah. But now that you have,
when you say clean, you're talking about physically clean it, or are you talking about getting the hard drive?
Complete take out, complete take apart.
Okay, and cleaned it.
Dust out and switch out the thermal paste.
Yeah, you didn't make extra space. You actually cleaned the machine.
Yeah, physical cleaning and a replacement of the paste. Yeah, because the telltale sign that your PS4 needs a cleaning is when it sounds like a jet engine.
Yeah.
So I did all that, took it apart, replaced the paste, and it was dried out. I was trying to remember the last time I cleaned the thing out, and I couldn't recall it was any time recently, so it must have been due. So I cleaned that out, put the stuff on there, put it back together again, and now I'm concerned because it's not making noise at all. So I'm now, there's a thought in my mind, did I put the thing back together properly? Did I connect the fan motor back to the power supply? Did I do this? Did I do that? Am I willing to take this thing
apart
to check again?
You've done it enough. I think you've done it enough that you'd be able to, like, you know, you'd have a system, a method.
Yeah, well, no, just to watch a YouTube video and see how to do it.
Okay.
So follow along with
Never
that.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Which I'm not knocking doing the YouTube route.
No,
I do
works.
That for a lot of things.
Yeah, whatever works, man. But yeah, so put it back together and everything. So I just have to check to see if I've got everything put together right. And it's working fine.
Yeah.
So there's no issues now. The fan's not blowing hard. So, and nothing is cut off because it says it's too hot. Now, the ultimate test would be to put on Warframe and see what happens, because that one was guaranteed to make the system say it's too hot and shut itself off.
Interesting.
So I'm going to try that later. I've tried with the other games, but not that one yet. So we'll see what happens when I do. And there was a time, during this week, I felt a little nostalgic, played a bit of Dig Dug on the classics route. There's a trophy I haven't picked up yet that says you have to dig, I think, 1,000 units or 10,000 units of soil on the game playing field.
That's one square, right?
Yeah, I think one square. So I haven't done that yet. It's the only trophy I haven't gotten in that game. So I guess when I get time, I'll finish off the trophy list for it. And another game was one I picked up on a lark off of the PlayStation Store. I think it was like 99 cents on a sale. It's a top-down 2D shooter slasher called Akane.
Okay.
And basically your character is going to fail. You're going to fail. You're going to die in this game, and you're going to see how many characters you can take out before you do. One shot, one kill type of game, and which is something I don't see a lot of. Do you recall any games like that other than like Hotline Miami or Hong Kong Massacre? One hit and done.
Oh yeah. Oh God, was it called Titan Souls? It was a Dark Souls, but it was on a pixelated screen. I say it was Dark Souls. It was a Souls-like. Way, way, way back when you had your first Dark Souls. This was before we had Dark Souls 2 and 3 and all the other things that are called Souls-like.
Mm-hmm.
This was done by, it was either Devolver or it was done by my Tiny Build guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called, now I've already forgotten what the name was. I said Titan Souls.
Yeah.
And you basically had a bow and arrow, and then a dodge mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got hit once, you were done.
Yeah.
That was it.
Mm-hmm.
In Pac-Man, if you get hit once, you're done.
Yeah. So basically vintage classic games.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting to think about. But you know what? Pac-Man is a one-hit thing. I mean, you got three lives, but you get touched once, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You don't get to... Yeah. Okay. So, interesting thought.
Yeah, but the format is really... it's a top, like I said, top-down 2D type of gameplay. You have a sword attack, gun attack, and your special abilities built up with a meter at the bottom, your adrenaline meter. You have a stamina bar as well, which allows you to you can run around the field and slice with your katana as long as you have stamina. Because if you didn't have stamina, you'd be running around with your katana, because like, most of the enemies are one hit, one kill as well.
Yeah.
But if you had infinite stamina, it wouldn't be a challenge at all for you. So there are times when you're going to run out of stamina and you can't swing your blade. So you're going to have to either dash or use your handgun to fend off enemies. And the better you play, the more things you unlock. You unlock gear for your character. You know, because the game is pretty much standard. You're going to lather, rinse, repeat this thing for a pretty long time. So you can gather shoes for better footwork, extra katanas for better attacks, different type of guns, gear, and gadgets to put on. And for, I don't know what the cigarettes do, but it's something that you can...
I don't know what cigarettes do, but there's something they do.
They do something. They provide something for you, but I haven't unlocked any yet, so I don't know what the full effect of those things are. But it was a fun little time killer. Just going to spend a little time playing that a little more, unlocking what I can and seeing how far I can get with the thing. I think the best I've done was, 183 kills so far. And mm-hmm. the quickest I've died is like 4 seconds. See, because it always restarts with like four guys surrounding you. And there was something in the way and I couldn't get out of the way quick enough. And I got hit from behind and it was instantly over. So like two deaths and two enemies killed and that was it. So start over. Yeah, but I'm having fun with it. So I'm going to see how far I can get in there.
I'm looking for... Okay. Devil Blade reboot.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of... Did you ever heard of Devil Blade?
No.
Okay, mm-hmm. I didn't either. It's a top-down shooter.
Mm-hmm.
You said you picked up a classic. What was it called? It's not Ikaruga or Ikaruga. What, you just mentioned it.
What?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
But that's a top-down...
Top-down slasher. Yeah.
They're
slashing and shooting and special moves and things like that.
This is more of a top-down... It's a bullet hell. What do you call them? Like Ikaruga or whatever.
Ikaruga, yeah. Vert shooter.
Vertical shooter. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Anyway, looks really good. Called Devil Blade Reboot. It's on sale mm-hmm. on Steam right now. Has overwhelmingly positive reviews mm-hmm. for it. So that's what got me thinking about it was when you mentioned that. And I kept trying to find it. Because I had seen that on sale, and I was like, ooh, let me tell him about this. I wonder if he knows about it.
Yeah.
So that's what that was called. But anything else you played?
No, that's pretty much it this week. Yeah.
For me, it's been Marvel Snap. I got my compensation package the other day. We all got our compensation packages the other day, so that was nice to get. I've been running really good with it and enjoying it, and the season ends on Tuesday. So, yeah, there you go. As far as Snap is concerned, more Astrobot. Astrobot is, what's a good way to put it? Astrobot's the thing you play when you want to forget your day. When your day's been crap or you've just had too much to deal with, you pop on Astrobot and... Everything about what it's showing you just kind of washes that stuff away.
Well, that depends on the gamer.
Possibly.
Because there are certain genres that will have that effect on some gamers and some it won't.
For me, just seeing all the bright colors, all the cute little things, all the neat little tricks they do with mechanics and different things like that with the way they, it's one of those things where you see something and you're thinking, I wonder if I can do that. And then you go do it and it rewards you for it because it knew you were thinking, I wonder if I can go do that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I wish I could give you an example because I don't necessarily play it in like little bitty bits. I kind of play it in really big chunks.
Full sessions.
I try to play it in little bitty bits, but it's too addictive. It's too like, hey, let's just do one more, you know, let's do one more and then go through it, you know? So I try to do it in little bits, but I end up doing it in little chunks. I did not play it yesterday, though, so I do plan to play it tonight when I get home. Mm-hmm. But at least a level, he said. but it's just, oh, God, it's so... The other day, I played the Uncharted level. First off, I rescued, what's his name, Nathan Drake, or at least the bot that's supposed to look like Nathan Drake from the mm-hmm. Uncharted games. And that was really cool. And then I went through his level. In other words... Once you beat a boss, another level in the same area opens up. That area is very specific to the hero of that location.
Mm-hmm.
The first level I played, the boss was a big gorilla. So the mini stage was based on Ape Escape. And you... took control of the catcher of the apes and you went around with a net catching everything. In another one, I defeated like an octopus or something like that. And for whatever reason, that tied into God of War. So then when I went over there and did the God of War thing, I got his axe and, you know, his beard and everything. Yeah, I got to play as Kratos bot thing and go through the level. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. There's little hints and bits of little things from all the different, I say from all of them, but from the God of War games, the music's playing, all these things are going on. It's very much a, in fact, my muscle memory was trying to do, like, I could feel it when I was throwing the axe and then calling the axe back and everything else that I could do. I could feel the way my muscle memory wanted to do my combos that I remember playing from God of War. It was really interesting. Mm-hmm. And then the level that I just did was Uncharted. The thing that I beat was some kind of, I don't know, weird, looked like some sort of Aztec, whatever, you know, lost civilization thing.
Yeah.
And so I got to go through there as Drake, which gave me a little gun that didn't shoot bullets. It shoot little bitty like ping pong balls or whatever. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about that was it automatically reloaded after every single. So if I had six shots, but if I just fired off two and left it blank, he'd still reload. Just like we always do. Mm-hmm. The little character would reload automatically every single time I fired the weapon and then stopped. Now, if I fired everything and used it all up, of course, he would reload. But didn't matter how many shots I took. One, two, three. Every time I stopped shooting, reload, which is exactly what a gamer does anyway. Mm-hmm. Not that that's a big deal or anything, but it was just kind of cool. Anyway, just to see the creativeness of the different levels that they come up with, the colorfulness, just all the really cool things that they implement with the noises that are coming out of your controller, the way the tilt functions work, the way you get that haptic feedback about what you're doing. This is absolutely a game that is worth every single penny of the $60 that it charges you for. And I say that only for the fact that if you go through and do all the levels that, or at least you go through and do everything the levels are asking for you, find all the robots, collect all the puzzle pieces, find the, I don't want to say they're alternate levels, but there are some of them that have alternate levels that open up. Mm. And if you go through and do it, it is absolutely worth the price of admission. It is just, it's too much fun. If you enjoy platformer games, let me put that on there. I can't, you know, if you're somebody that likes sports games, you're not going to like Astrobot. You know, if you're somebody that likes racing games or simulation type games, you know what I mean? RPGs, stuff like that, then obviously you're not going to like this. But if you've ever enjoyed playing Mario, man, you'll enjoy playing this.
I mean, I was hearing a description of it from last week and just now. I keep thinking of that game, Little Big Planet.
Yeah, I've rescued one of them already. Yeah, but Little Big Planet, that's a good comparison, because Little Big Planet was released to show off a lot of what the PlayStation 4 could do.
Mm-hmm.
With fabric effects and the ways the level works, no loading and all this. It was a nice little platformer. You're exactly right. Mm-hmm. And so when the PlayStation, I guess it was PlayStation VR that hit for PlayStation 4, that's when Astrobot came into being, because it was a way to showcase the VR aspects.
The tech demo.
Yeah, basically. And then when the PS5 released, they're like, okay, we're going to continue with this Astrobot thing and make another thing to show off the controller, the system, that sort of thing, and just keep doing that. And then the guys at Team Asobi said, well, we can make a game out of this, you know, a full-fledged, full-release game out of this. And they absolutely did, and they have nailed it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, just think about the thing about Sackboy was he had all these outfits based on PlayStation property.
Yeah.
And the same thing is applying here.
The
Nathan Drake version of Astrobot, the Kratos version of Astrobot.
I tell you, going through it, it really feels like, and people use this comparison, and I mean, I could understand the comparison that they were making, but I couldn't truly understand that comparison until I actually played the game myself. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it feels like, because when I turn on my, this year's the, 30th anniversary of PlayStation, I believe. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they did it for PlayStation 4, but I know on PlayStation 5, they added some themes that you can redecorate your home screen with, your startup sound. I can use the startup sound for the original PlayStation or the PS2 or the PS3 or 4. I can use the menu system from the original PlayStation. Well, there wasn't one, but from the PS2, the PS3, the PS4. I don't know if the menu, I don't think there was a menu system for two, was there? Or was there?
I also can't recall. It's been a while since I booted mine up.
Either way, you could pick and mix and match whatever you wanted to from the previous games or from the previous consoles. So my startup sound is that original Sony startup sound from the PS1. And so I say that because as I'm playing through this game, it feels, to put it one way or another, it feels like, you remember South Park's, those little Memba berries that were there? There's like, oh, I remember. They were very nostalgia based, where it's like, oh, remember this, which is kind of what it's doing to you. But it's not doing it to you in a...
PS2 did have a menu, by the way.
It did?
Yeah, it did.
It's not doing it to you in a sense of, I don't want to say corniness or something like that, or lack of originality or something. It's not doing it in that way because it is mixed up. It's all mixed in with what Astrobot is doing. The God of War level that's in there, sure, it's using aspects of God of War, but it's also mixing that in with the aspects of what Astrobot is, both in the music and in the characters that you see and in the ways that you interact. It's all kind of mixing that in to fit into the theme of what you're actually playing. So it's more of, let's put a little bit of God of War into Astrobot rather than put Astrobot into God of War. It's a little bit of that. Or same thing with Uncharted or whatever else you want to look at. And I'm not sure what my next boss is that I'm playing on right now. I haven't gotten to that point yet. Mm-hmm. But it feels like here's the greatest hits of PlayStation for the past 30 years. Here's the Dante bot. Here's Ken and Ryu. Here is the legacy of Kane people, Azrael and Kane. And here's the Metal Gear Solid folks, you know? Here's Tomb Raider. Uncharted is in there. Okami is in there. Intelligent Cube. I don't know if you remember that game from a long time ago. It was a
QUB?
Yes. Yeah. It was a puzzle game with the thing. Yeah, that's in there. Katamari is in there. MLB The Show is in there. There's a baseball player. That's it. He's in a baseball uniform, and he's got a bat and everything, and you know, that's it. Ape Escape, like I've said, is part of it as well. Crash Bandicoot is in there. It's like a best of. I see it's hardly even saying best of. It is all in. Killzone, it is everything that you could probably think of for PlayStation. Obviously, Last of Us, Uncharted, like I mentioned. I'm sure there's stuff that isn't included, but
yeah,
it's hard to think of something that's not.
Like a DLC pack waiting to happen.
Maybe.
Level-wise.
Maybe. I don't know. They released a Christmas level, and that was free. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens with it. Mm-hmm. But it seems very, very...
Astrobot sounds like PlayStation All-Stars done right.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not, but it feels like it's the end of PlayStation. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, we're going out. Here's a nice little game to go out on and whatever. They're not. You know, there's more games on the way, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it does give you that sense of last gasp for the PS5. Mm-hmm. You know, and here's a tour of all the PlayStation properties over the past 30 years to celebrate the end of life for the PlayStation 5. No, and it's not that way.
No, it's not
that
at all. No. I mean, the last time I saw something like that was for Dreamcast. I mean, everybody was like trying to be the last Dreamcast title. Mm-hmm. I'm talking independents, major companies, individual people trying to make their own game and everything. They tried to be the last Dreamcast game. And I forget which one it was. Because I remember some individual person made a game for it, and I don't think that was it, but that was one of the last I remember being made for the Dreamcast.
Yeah, and the music's fantastic. I never get over the just how great the music is for the game. They even wrote lyrics for some of these things. long songs. There's a whole level that takes place. First off, and I mentioned this, first off, you have a seed and you put water on the seed and it grows into this big tree. Well, when it grows into this big tree, he starts singing to you. And he's basically giving you directions of like, in fact, the lyric is, jump up into my mouth. Mm-hmm. So your character is supposed to go. So when you jump up into his mouth, you're now inside the tree and the whole level is vertical. As you make your way towards the top, then you step out on the limbs and then you go around the tree to keep going up. You're going up to the very top of the tree. Entire time, this tree is singing, or at least there's lyrics to the music that you're hearing as you're going through it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't make out the lyrics as I was playing, but obviously I could hear them there. I didn't have time to like, what's he singing? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I looked up the lyrics online as I was looking for some of the songs and stuff. So, but it's extremely long the way they did it. And there's more. I mean, they do a lot more than just that. It's fantastic. Just really, really great. What else did I play? I played some more of Psychroma. I'm moving along in that game. I feel like it's one that if I would put in more time and effort to really play the game, I could probably finish it a lot quicker than what it's taking.
Is it not holding your interest or?
No, I'm repeating a lot of things because it's kind of puzzle and it's point and click. And it's also, there are these, it takes place in one apartment building. And so there's floors, there's like seven floors. And one floor has a station where you can occupy the memory or the body of another character. And then another floor has that same station. And the difference is when you use one or the other and you occupy the body or the memory of these other people, it's putting you in a different time period of that apartment complex. So the people I was turning into on the lower floor didn't have access to the higher floors because at that point in the time period, they had not done anything to get up to that point. So that's kind of a different thing. A door may be locked in the present, but if I go into the past, the door is now unlocked. Mm-hmm. Or whichever way it may be that I'm moving through time. You don't pick which way you go. And I honestly don't think I actually do go into the future. I think this is all going into the past. I think I'm currently in the future part and trying to figure everything out, I guess. It's a little, yeah.
Yeah, the scenario you came up with about the locked doors, like unlocked in the past, now sealed in the future.
Yeah.
It's like you got to figure out what happened in the past for someone to lock that door.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple of different things like that. Sometimes it can be very repetitive because I'm going through these floors and things and I'm like, well, what am I looking for? And that's the point. A lot of times I'll finish my session with it. And when I go back to it, I'm like, what was I doing? What was I supposed to do? Because there was a narrative only given by other characters in the game. And you can revisit them and get that same dialogue again, but kind of telling me what to do. And it's like, what was I supposed to do? There's no like notepad or no sort of like, go here to do this. There's none of that, no handholding. Mm-hmm. But it's also, when I was reading the reviews, it's also not very long. It's like 3 to 4 hours. But I put in probably a lot more than that. Maybe. I'm not sure. So more Psychroma. And then this morning I started playing, it was part of the Humble stuff, but it's called Boxes. It was made by the same people who did Doors. Doors, Boxes. Walls is next. It's puzzle boxes, very much like The Room, where you've got a box and it's got all these puzzle aspects to it and you unlock those and then you move on. So, yeah. So that was fun to play through. I've enjoyed that. It was on Humble Bundle, but I've seen it for, again, if you go to gg.deals, you can find boxes usually from a key seller for like a buck or even less than a buck. Because it was on Humble, so a lot of people are selling their keys off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can do that if you want to. Pick it up. Anyway, we are at the break point, and we're going to take that break. Let me check on chat. Oh, my God, chat has been going. I haven't had it open here. Publix, I need a new motherboard. However, it was two of the slots. Ooh, what? I need a new motherboard. I thought my RAM died. However, it was two of the slots. I also need autocorrect that works right. Okay. Yeah, no MLB The Show and Game Pass. We're going to get to that. But you're right. And Thar 6, it is a little strange, but who knows what's going on. Yeah, I don't know. Plus, Microsoft is looking to start putting their games on other systems as well, which we'll get into also. We're going into a break here, and we've got music from more recent releases, even though we're in like August of last year with our recent releases. Here's a game I played, and I really enjoyed it. I don't know if it's on... Well, I closed that website. I don't know if it's on sale right now or not, but it's called Tactical Breach Wizards. It is the main theme of that game. We will be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. He said. Welcome back in to In-Game Chat. You got music here from a game called Dustborn. The name of the track is called The Horned Riders. It's a pretty good track there. Dustborn I keep seeing come up for sales and stuff, but I really haven't looked into it. See what kind of a game it is. I think it maybe even be on my wish list.
Don't call right. It wasn't very well received. That's probably why somebody's seeing a bunch of sales on it.
Dustborn?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't remember when it released. Now you've got me curious.
Let's see. Pull up right quick.
Deuce.
August.
Well, yeah. That fits with the fact that we're pulling these all from August.
Yeah.
I'm showing it's $10. That's on some site called Gamer Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Steam has it for like $12. But what kind of game is it? Let's see. Tag genre. Action, adventure, indie, story rich, comic book, choices matter, single player. Dustborn is a single player story driven action adventure game about hope, love, friendships, robots, and the power of words. Let's see. You play as someone with the ability to weaponize language. That's interesting. So pack your bags, assemble a crew with their own peculiar powers, and get ready to travel the country. Explore the stunning neo-Western landscapes of an alternate history America on a robot-driven tour bus. Stop at locations along the road to build your crew, but the people you stole the package from want it back, and the authoritarian justice is hot on your heels. Smokey and the Bandit. You're also traveling undercover as a punk rock band, so you'll definitely need to brush up on your musical skills before your next gig. Words have power, like actual power. Fight with shouts and use vox in conversations to manipulate people. All right. Interesting. But yeah, it's called Dustborn. Okay. Anyway, that's what that is. You know what? I'm going to leave that website open in case I need to go back to it. Let's see. What do we want to look at the news? What we got? Well, I mean, we might as well talk about MLB The Show, right?
Sure.
One of the first things that we came across was the fact that, hey, we got the cover. It's three people this time. Mm-hmm. You want to say their name?
Let me see.
Paul
Skeens.
Paul Skeens. De La Cruz.
Ellie De La Cruz.
Yeah. And Gunnar Henderson.
Gunnar Henderson, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Three people on the cover.
Three young bloods, yeah.
So you got what? The Pirates, the Reds, and the
Pirates, Reds, and the Orioles.
Mm-hmm. However, it's not going to be on Game Pass this year, and I don't think we have a reason as to why. But it does say it will not. Okay, so Sony Santa Monica clarified that the show will not be on platform subscription services in 2025. So not only does that take it off Game Pass, but it also rules it out for PlayStation Plus, at least for 2025.
Mm-hmm.
It's still possible that it could be added to game subscriptions in 2026 and beyond. Huh. They started that with MLB The Show 21, and then every entry after had been on Game Pass on launch day, but they're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason as to why, and we probably will never be able to find out as to why. Would be nice to know, but yeah, so you're not going to get your baseball on your Game Pass this year. Does anybody else have a Game Pass? Or not Game Pass. Does anybody else have a baseball license?
Not that I know of.
I was going to say,
The only game I looked at was baseball-wise was MLB The Show. But as to why this happened, I mean, I could hazard a guess. Someone looked at the numbers and they took a hit in comparison to previous numbers
when
it went on Game Pass. Because Game Pass, you're paying for Game Pass, but you're not paying for The Show.
You're not, but what you get out of that is whatever Microsoft pays you to be on Game Pass. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
In other words, Microsoft gives you, Sony does the same thing with their PS Plus stuff. At least the free ones I know, Microsoft pays a certain amount for it to be featured on Game Pass to the developer. And they sort of mitigate that saying like, well, here's what we stand to earn releasing without Game Pass. And here's how much money Microsoft is going to give us if we put ourselves on Game Pass. And you kind of weigh your options there to see if you want to take that deal.
Yeah, it's a numbers game.
Which honestly, it wasn't Sony Santa Monica, it was MLB, right? MLB said, you know,
put your stuff on other
release consoles, this on other consoles.
Yeah.
By the way, that's another thing. It's not getting removed from Xbox. It's just not going to be on the subscription service.
Yeah.
It will now be available for you to buy on Xbox and Sony. So they're not really giving up the deal of being at cross-platform or multi-platform.
Mm-hmm.
Just that it's not going to be on a subscription service.
Yeah.
Which you could be right on that, although it took them long enough to kind of figure that out, wouldn't you think? Or did it die down? Was it really good up until last year and then it didn't do well? I don't know what the numbers have been for the show. I have no idea.
Yeah, that's what I want to. I'd like to get into the numbers. How was your sales with Game Pass and without Game Pass?
Mm-hmm.
And ever since MLB did made that decision to.
Well, I'd have to say your sales would be down because if you're on a subscription service, there's no point in people buying your game for that system. People on Sony had to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
People on Microsoft did not.
Right.
And so, don't know. Be curious to know about it, though. That's one of those things we're just not going to ever find out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if somebody leaked it, by the time they leak it, it'd just be a thing of like, well, it's over and done with. And that's, or they say the obvious that, oh, they weren't making money with Game Pass like they were.
That's my bet.
Selling
money.
It. Of course.
That's my bet.
What else? Money. What else makes things, you know?
Business is going to business.
That's, yeah. Corporate going to corporate.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. So, yeah. Speaking of subscription services, PlayStation Plus, is that for this year? It says next year. Let me see. Sony has announced, this was on January 29th, so it's going to be next year. Sony has announced it's shifting the focus of its PlayStation Plus monthly games and game catalog updates toward PlayStation 5 titles starting early next year, and that PlayStation 4 titles will only occasionally feature thereafter. Sony said it was evolving the PlayStation Plus service to reflect the fact that many of our players are currently playing on PS5 and have shifted towards redeeming and accessing PS5 titles from the monthly games and game catalog benefit. As such, PlayStation Plus monthly games and game catalog will switch their focus to offering PS5 titles starting in January of 2026. And PS4 will no longer be a key benefit. They're leaving you behind, RJ.
I've been through that before.
Not your first time dealing with this.
Look, when I saw it on the PlayStation 3, everything was like on going to 4.
Yeah.
But I was still playing the PS3. I still had stuff on there to do.
Oh, yeah.
And the same thing applies here. You mean, you know me with consoles. I mean, my PS2 still works. So I'm still using that. So, yeah, it's not a big deal.
Are you eventually going to pick up a PS5? Will you eventually move to a PS5?
I don't know about move to it. I mean, I'm still going to be playing stuff that's on PS4 still. I mean, eventually, if enough titles get on there, and of course, I will be with Virtual Fighter 6 coming out. That'll make me...
That's going to cause you to do it, huh?
That's going to make me get look at picking up a PS5.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
but
I mean...
But still ain't going to be anytime soon, so...
I understand. I would say that it's going to be cheaper. You can buy it because they'll probably lower the price. Except for the fact of the tariffs. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you what... I can't... I don't know.
I know. We're just guessing. But
like, even PlayStation 5... consoles that are either refurbished, you know, sort of thing, where people have traded them in, or where Sony says, yeah, we're going to lower the price because we got the PS5 Pro or we've got the PS6 on the way or whatever the case may be. I don't know. And also, that only applies for this year. I don't know how far out it's going to be for you before you get a PS5. If it's next year, then I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen next year.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you. Tariffs aside, you'd be looking at a pretty good deal on a system buying it this late. I would say as a refurbished unit or, you know, somebody selling theirs, you just buy theirs.
Yeah, refurb, eBay, something.
Exactly. Yeah. You're going to pick them up for probably a pretty good price. Let's just not look at what's going on as far as the world economy is concerned, but what's going on with our game economy. That's what you could get. Again, though, with everything else that's going on, games, consoles, got a feeling they're all going to be going up. Yeah. That whole thing about the GTA being $100 might not be far off.
Yeah.
Possibly. We'll see. Oh, yeah. So there you go. You got a PlayStation 4 or a PlayStation 5, you're going to start seeing a lot more PlayStation 5s on your PS Plus account. If that's what you're going to be doing. So, by the way, MLB The Show 25 launches in March. Meant to say that whenever we got around to it.
Yeah, just for opening day.
Usually that's when it does. What else we got here? There's not a lot of news here. Ubisoft announced studio closures. It was a UK studio based in Leamington, 185 jobs across the business there. Some of them will be retained under remote contracts, but yeah, they've let go of a lot there. So more layoffs. Ubisoft.
Preemptive.
Probably. Usually around the first of the year, this is what you normally get, especially as you get closer to the end of fiscal year, which is, or the beginning of fiscal, was it March?
First October.
A quarter, maybe? Maybe that's what we're talking about? I'm not sure. It says Ubisoft has repeatedly reduced its headcount since 2022, when it employed 20,279 people. By the end of September of 2024, it employed just 18,666 people. March 20th is when we're getting the Assassin's Creed Shadows game, by the way. And I don't think a lot's riding on that game, but if it does not do well, I can easily see more.
That's why I'm saying preemptive. This is the type of the actions I'm thinking happens after a bad.
Yeah, you think they're looking at that?
I'm thinking.
You think they look at that and think, I don't know that we're gonna. I don't think we're gonna meet expectations here. We need to get rid of some of you. Maybe. I don't know.
That's why I'm thinking preemptive. Because like I said, this sounds like something you do after a bad release, or like I'm thinking, you expect it to be a. You don't expect it to meet expectations.
Yeah, it could be. That could be it. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'd love to know. There's so many things in the world of gaming that I would love. Like, I know we got our reporters, Schreier and a couple of other people who write these books that go in depth of, like, here's what I found out when I was, you know, researching this story on Destiny or Bungie or for whatever. Like, I wish we could get just some really good in-depth, I don't want to say interviews, but just a way to look at games before, just, you know, what's going on. I talk about Bioshock a lot. Like, what happened there? Bioshock Infinite is the one I'm thinking of. What happened there? We saw a good chunk of the game that had completely changed by the time the game released. Like, we saw it in motion, moving. Playing. It was a demo to be shown off to people, you know, to get hyped about the game. And then the game released. There was another gameplay demo that was shown off after the first one that showed, like, everything had changed. Like, we were going in a completely new direction. Watch Dogs is another one. Watch Dogs had that amazing E3 presentation, that end of the show presentation thing. Oh, here's one more thing. And you saw old boy walking down the street, and at that time, looked amazing. Looked really, really just, whoa, what? Leaves on the ground reacting to this dude stepping around him, or the wind, or cars driving. I mean, just all these really cool things of physics and mechanics working. Just, what? And then silence for like 2 months. It was supposed to release. All we got was, hey, it's not releasing. We pushed it back, and then nothing. Like, what happened? What? And so when you look at these things, it's like, I also wonder, is Ubisoft expecting bad sales for Assassin's Creed? Is that why they're doing these? You know, what do they think? Not office lingo or some press release remark. Because they're never going to be truthful in that.
Right.
They're going to be like, oh, we have high expectations for the game. It's the, you know, it's a wonder. It's the leading franchise of video games, Assassin's Creed, next to Call of Duty. And Madden. And I probably could go on and on. But I'm just curious as to, like, what they think. Outside of press releases. Or just, you know, it's one of those things that I wish we could get. Maybe not obviously at the time it's happening, but down the road a bit, where we would eventually discover this is what happened, this is what was done. Sometimes we get it, most times we don't.
Yeah.
Most times it's just, that's what it is, we'll never know what the, oh, to be the fly on the wall type of thing. So that's what we look for.
Maybe years down the line, get that big novel, like Console Wars.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
the best debacle, the biggest debacles.
But we had to wait like 30 years before we could get that.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what I'm thinking about. Because again, I go back to that documentary on, which is not. It's nice. It's nothing like Console Wars. That's great. But Game Changers is really, really good. Little documentary on HBO Max. I've enjoyed it. I've still got some more episodes to go, but. Honestly, it's not telling me anything I didn't know, but it's cool to, like, see pictures of these people who used to work at these companies, and then, like, oh, this is the guy that broke off and formed Infinity Ward, or these are the guys that, you know, originally started with Activision once they left EA or whoever it was. I can't remember who it was they left to form their own studio. It was Atari, I think. In fact, it was Atari. The reason they named themselves Activision was because it would show up before Atari would be. AT would, you know, AC comes before AT. So, yeah, that was the reason they named it what they named it. But anyway, we got to go. We got to take a break. It's top of the hour. So we are talking about games in August here, and this was a big one. So big for all the wrong reasons. This is the main theme to Concord. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. That is music from a game called Core Keeper. It's called My Growing Home. That is the name of the track there. So welcome back to the show. I'm currently waiting on some stuff to come in here, work-related things that I have to go and fix. So far, I don't have anything yet. But as soon as I do, then you'll need to take over. RJ. if I can, and if not, then I will. I'll try and do it in the middle of a break. But yeah, so. Oh goodness! Welcome back to the show, everybody! Yay, live radio! It's always fun. So let's see. What are we getting? We're talking about Microsoft, and that we're starting to see Microsoft ease up on their. Hey, it's only going to play on. You can only play this on. On Microsoft systems, because. We found out, let me see something. There we go. Okay. Let's see. So yeah, Microsoft has announced that Forza Horizon 5 will head to PlayStation 5 this spring, plus free content update that is going to be coming for all the platforms. We're also getting Doom the Dark Ages. That's going to be on the PlayStation 5. And the Indiana Jones game, that will be on the PlayStation 5 as well. Forza Horizon, though, originally released back in 2021. So that one's quite a, an older title. But it's a really good, it's top-notch racing title from Microsoft. And Forza has been, one of those titles that has really just stuck, as a Microsoft brand or whatever.
Is that the direct competitor for Gran Turismo?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Forza is. Forza Horizon is more of an arcade thing.
Okay. Because of the Forza Motorsport, isn't it? Or
yeah.
Some of them.
Forza Motorsport is the
direct, competitor to Gran Turismo. And I don't think I've seen I haven't heard news about a new Gran Turismo. What was the last one? 7 or 8?
GT. I don't know. Was it 7 or 8?
I want to say 7. But I could be wrong on that one. Because it's been a while since I looked at a new Gran Turismo.
Yeah, let me see. PlayStation. Checking right now.
See.
Okay, I can't check on that. I thought I could check for PlayStation games, but Gran Turismo does not come up there for some reason. Will that show up?
Trying to see if it even exists.
Man, I do not see Gran Turismo. This is on GG Deals that I'm looking at, so it's not showing up for me there. I absolutely know that it'll, you know, show up if you went into the PlayStation Store or something. You'd be able to find it. I'm just thinking of something I need to do here.
Let's see. The ninth major release, the 16th game overall in the Gran Turismo game video game series after Gran Turismo 7. The game includes optional PlayStation VR for functionality and will be released exclusively for the PS5 and PS6. Don't guess.
Keep bringing that because I got to go do something.
2027. Okay. So yeah, 14th game in the series. And I can't even recall the last time I played that. Let's see. See, Gran Turismo 7. Well, they say they hear that Gran Turismo 8 has already been begun development on it. It's been begun, according to Polyphony Digital CEO Kazunori Yamauchi. They just don't know when it's going to arrive on the PlayStation 5, even though they said 2027. Okay. Let's see. Trying to think of other titles on that thing. I can't even think of any right now. I think the only one I played was back on the PlayStation 3. When I played Gran Turismo.
Say again now.
I think the last one I played was Gran Turismo on the PlayStation, I think, 3. Last time I played it.
Wow.
I think I was using a Volkswagen Beetle just for the heck of it. But other than that, I can't think of any other times I've played Gran Turismo.
All right. Yeah. So what did you only found out what? That it goes to...
They said 8 was in development to 2027 or
okay,
something
so
like that.
Okay. So 7 was the last 7 one. Was the last one.
Yeah.
Okay. Whew. All right. I apologize for doing that, and I apologize for being distracted at the moment. I'm trying to fix an issue. Okay, so yeah, we're getting Forza Horizon, we're getting all the other games, and then of course the Switch, or at least the Switch 2, is going to be getting more games as well. Phil Spencer, CEO of Microsoft Gaming, says he is looking forward to supporting Nintendo with the company's Xbox games. From a recent episode of Gamertag Radio, he appeared to lend further credence to reports that games like Halo and Microsoft Flight Simulator are bound for Nintendo Switch 2. Flight Sim on the Nintendo Switch, that's saying a lot. Well, I mean, it takes a lot of power to run that thing.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking about how Mortal Kombat 1 looked on the Switch.
Yeah.
It did not look good. So a game like Flight Simulator on that.
Now, we're talking about the Switch 2, and we really don't know what the Switch 2 is going to do.
Still.
Yeah.
I would still be skeptical about a handheld handling something like that.
Yeah. During his appearance, he praised Nintendo's innovation and its success with the original Switch, saying that he believes Switch 2 will also be successful for the company. He did not write and announce any Xbox games. He had already set a precedent that it's quite comfortable bringing previously Xbox exclusive software to what to rival platforms. They already publish Minecraft on a bunch of different platforms. Pentiment and Grounded are also two other games that are on Nintendo's console that are from a Microsoft developer. Call of Duty will be brought to Nintendo's platform as well. So, yeah, you're probably going to see quite a lot of games getting added to the Switch 2, if not other titles going to other consoles.
Yeah.
By that, I just mean the PlayStation 5. What other consoles are there? So... Excuse me for a minute. Excuse.
But I said, but I do say the same thing. Those big titles coming to a portable system. Just questioning how well they they're going to perform.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. And if they're going to bring them there, then they probably already have some idea of what kind of power we're getting out of the Switch too. I would think. To be able to say, yeah, we're going to put them on there. So. All right. Sorry, I'm moving on.
Maybe a toned down version, maybe.
You know.
Not as much features. Something has to be taken out. I mean, if it can handle everything like that.
Yeah. Where was I going to go with this? I'm sorry. I got distracted. Yeah, because I've got to go run and do. I got to go run and redo the weather. Man, what was I going to be getting into that you were talking about? And now I've completely forgotten what I was going to say, and I'm so sorry.
When the news?
No, it wasn't in the news. It was something about what we were talking about with
the Switch and performance issues.
Right. Okay. Like yeah. Thank you. Oh. Halo, I could easily see being played on the Switch. Okay. The first one.
Sorry.
Halo 2, maybe even Halo 3. Halo 4, probably. I don't know. On the Switch 2, at least, I would figure. Mm-hmm. You got to think that... I can't remember what the Switch is equated to. Like, the Switch is a portable PlayStation 3? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the power comparison that we're talking about here?
Yeah.
And so, I'm not sure... you know, which one it is or which one you would look at there. But I got to figure the Switch 2 is going to be 360 to Xbox One-ish, you know, PS4-ish instead of PS3. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the technology has advanced since those consoles came out that we're talking about, but. I don't see it performing at top capacity for those titles. But
yeah.
Maybe they'll surprise me because, like you said, we still don't know what the Switch 2 is capable of.
No,
We don't. So it would be a pleasant surprise, but I'm expecting it not to be.
Yeah.
I'm thinking something's going to be missing from those bigger titles.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. And I'm not sure what it's going to be or what. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see about that. Let's jump back into more news here, at least what I can. Oh, yeah. Video cards released this week.
Uh-oh.
The RTX 5090 and the RTX 5080 went out of stock across the U.S. and the U.K. in 5 minutes. You'd be lucky if you were able to grab one. And it went fast.
So bots were involved.
Yeah. It says every other card we could find on Newegg and Best Buy were gone the instant we clicked on them. Over at Walmart, there was one lonely RTX 5080, but he got snapped up real quick too. Even the shockingly overpriced versions, ones that were costing the 5080s that were costing the same as the 5090, all of those had gone out of stock. $2,000 graphics cards that shouldn't be $2,000.
Supply and demand.
They all went. Same situation over the UK. Some places had pages claiming stock, but if you click through, they either fessed up that stock had been gone or there was no way to add to your cart. By my reckoning, it was all done and dusted by 6:05. Well, 5 minutes after they went on sale. Yeah. On sale. And realistically, it probably happened earlier than that. It's just that's when the sites actually caught up with the fact that the cards had been snapped up. From a point of view of everyone getting a shot of all their stock, it will be seen by a win as both the retailers and NVIDIA. By the consumers, it'll seem like a loss because they didn't get what they really wanted. Was it high demand or low stock? All the pre-release noise was about either low volumes of chips going to manufacturers or low numbers of cards going to retailers. Neither paints a particularly rosy picture of digital shelves packed with new cards, which is a shame, considering NVIDIA was reportedly able to choose whether it wanted to release this new generation of graphic cards and could surely have picked a point in time where it managed to put more stock into the channel. No, they didn't. This is how it works. There's a big demand for your product. Release it in small batches to make it look like it's just sold out everywhere and nobody can get it. That is going to raise your demand. Usually. So, yeah. I would guess NVIDIA catching up on orders of its GPUs took more... Oh, yeah. The Blackwell server GPUs took more priority than the GeForce GPUs. Still, there will likely be more stock winding its way to retailers soon enough, and we'll have a new RTX 57 and RTX 5070 Ti cards coming our way next month. Keep an eye on the where to buy... yeah, that's fine. Okay.
Yeah. You see that, yeah, the last line of the article is where I was going. That thing's coming to an auction soon near you.
Of course.
Someone's going to...
Go to eBay right now. You can find it.
In fact, yeah, let's do that.
Do it.
Yeah, I'll...
Do it.
Let's see. eBay, NVIDIA...
It's the 5080 and the 5090.
Okay.
Sound like me.
I don't even want to click right now. Sweet Jesus.
Yeah? Go to the ones that have sold. Or click on not the ones that are currently in auction. Go to the ones that have sold.
Let's see. Sold. Let's see, 2,800. I'm looking at now.
Sold? In other words, somebody bought a 59. What did they buy for 2,800?
Well, that's the price I'm seeing now.
But, oh, okay.
Let's see. Fans.
Nothing?
No, nothing yet.
Okay.
But I see. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong spot.
Yeah, you're fine. I'm gonna take a look here just real quick to check. I'm actually really curious.
Well, but what I'm seeing now, it ain't 2,000, folks. It's more than that. Much more than that.
Let's see. Item location, shipping, show only, completed, sold items. Whoo! This one shows $8,000. The 5090 here shows $5,000. $5,100. $5,400. $5,800. $6,000. My God. There's one for $2,000. Which sounds reasonable when you're listing $6,000 of one graphic card.
Yeah. Now you're looking at the 5090s right now, right?
5090s is all I'm looking at here.
Okay, yeah.
Which is the most expensive of them? They're $7,000.
Yep. I'll just pass it. What the? New listing? Brand new listing. $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
If it's any consolation, it has free delivery.
Oh, my God. These prices. Makes me want to have gotten one and then sell it. But, yeah, this is ridiculous. No,
that's what I meant. The bots come out. I mean, you got any product with a ridiculously high demand, bots are going to get in there, take out all the stock, and it's going to go on eBay or whatever auction house there is in no time.
Evan says that most tech shows are calling it a paper launch. I saw where Gamers Nexus mentioned that, where they were calling it a paper launch. I remember back on the 3090 series when that released during the pandemic, it felt like a paper launch, and there was a lot of discussion about it being a paper launch, which is basically we're just putting it out here to make it look good on paper. That, we sold through everything. You know, everything was sold out everywhere. You can't find it anywhere. Yeah. It's so hard to get. Stop. Stop it. Like, the interesting part of that is that you're only doing scalpers the favor.
Yeah.
But as we just saw for eBay.
This is a scalper's market right
now. You're only doing scalpers a favor when you do this. Because, for one, you're not going to raise your price. Now, again, I have to, codify everything with, tariffs aside. Because the tariffs will absolutely affect these cards.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to increase the price. You have set the price of your cards. the third-party manufacturers have set the price of their cards. Yes, they're probably going to go up because of the tariffs, but what I mean by that is that withholding them, thinking you're going to have more of a demand, is not the case. People still want it. The same amount of people that wanted it when you launched it are the same amount of people that want it now. So putting it out there so everybody can have one, go for it.
Yeah.
I never understand it. Other than the fact that it's a paper launch, it's made so you can write the headlines of, yeah, we sold out in 5 minutes. Mm. But we're not going to release any numbers. We're just going to tell you, yeah, they were sold out in stores in 5 minutes. Retailers can say, yeah, we can't keep them in stock. People buy them all the time. That's because you're getting like five. And that's it. It's horrible. And I do not understand it. I get that it drives up demand, but the demand is going to be there when you sell out of these. Even if you give them five or 5,000, they'll buy them and the demand will still be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not, I don't know. I'm not businessman, so I don't know. But I am radio man, and I got to go do radio things. So we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll jump into whatever's left of our news. We might go long on this music here for a minute while I go do what I got to do. It is music from a game called Phantom Spark. We'll be right back with more of Endgame Chat right after this. Welcome back in to In-Game Chat. Music here from Black Myth Wukong. Celestial Symphony, I believe, is the name of this track. Have you played that yet?
No, I haven't, but okay. I've seen some videos on it. It does
PS5 like only, right?
I believe so.
I mean, I know it's on PC and everything, but I'm saying for you, it'd be either PS5 or PC.
Yeah,
but likely,
PC.
Yeah.
If I do pick it up, yeah.
Welcome back in, everybody. Lee the Migrant says, check the Micro Center site and see if they have any of y'all. Micro Center was out as well. Micro Center had people in line. People got in line Monday for a Thursday launch. And I don't know how many they had, to be honest with you, depending. But there is not a Micro Center. What do you got? Two that are in Georgia, right?
I believe so.
Marietta? And another one, I think.
Yeah,
I could be wrong. Anyway, there's two in Georgia, which is amazing. Because there's not one within the state of Alabama at all.
Marietta and Duluth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which aren't too far from each other.
Mm-mm.
By comparison.
No.
As to say we put one in Birmingham and Montgomery, that's a good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Duluth and yeah, that's not too far apart.
Yeah.
But they were gone too. People were in line, ready to pick those graphics cards up. I'm not in the market for one. The 3080 that I have has been doing me, you know, just doing wonders for me, especially with me playing at 1440. I'm not trying to push 4K on my PC.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running at 1440 on the main monitor there. And yeah, so I'm not looking to kind of upgrade the card at all.
Yeah, I liken them to smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some folks are obsessed with getting the newest version of a smartphone, and they stand in lines like they do for those cards. Yeah, when the one they got still works, just not as, I guess it doesn't have as many features or whatever, but it does the job.
Well, I will say on some of them, they at least, you know, what is it? Planned obsolescence.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of your phones kind of feel that way because the further we go into a phone's life, maybe the slower it gets in opening up an app or doing something because things have progressed and it's getting slower or whatever the case may be. And I mean, that's it's in any kind of technology that you're into, it's, you know, things require more and you only have so much that you can give. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like your card can only do so much. Your graphics card, your processor, your RAM. It can only go a certain point before the games that are releasing sort of outrun the performance of that card. But that's the beauty with PC gaming. Settings. Sliders. You can bring down the settings. You can make it play on your system. You can get through it with not really looking that bad, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Back in the day, it was a significant difference. Nowadays, not so much.
Mm-hmm. I have to remember, and it's one of those weird things, but I have to remember the desire or the urge of wanting a new graphics card.
Mm-hmm.
When they release these things, like when they talk about, oh, the 5090 does this or does that, or the 58, whatever it may be. You know, next year when they talk about the 60 series or whatever, the 6080, the 6090, they'll be in the same boat. My point being is that when they talk about the next one, right now I'm on the 30 series. When they start talking about the 60 series, maybe I'll pick up one of the 40 series at that point.
Yeah, that's what I've done. When the hottest new thing come out, I've done it with building computers.
Yeah,
I'm like what's the top of the line version of this component right now? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm looking at it. What's the one that was two generations back?
What's 2 years older.
Yeah, because I've in my PC gaming, I haven't really done a lot of graphic intense. Gaming PC wise, I mean, Papers, Please.
Oh God, no!
No, it's not. It's not graphic intense.
No,
Balatro. No, it's not graphic intense.
Black Myth Wukong would be.
Yeah, but yeah, a game like that would be.
Yeah.
So yeah, so
Indiana Jones didn't feel like that was tense or intense. You know what I'm saying? Like graphically intensive. It was because you got a lot of people talking about. Well, I'm trying to run at this, but running it at 1440 plus a little caveat to the card that I have. It's an EVGA card. It is a 3080, but it's a 3080 with 12 gigs of RAM. Most 3080s came with 6 to 10. And then there were some, like this one, that had 12, which matched the RAM that was in the 3090.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, the 3090 was better than the 3080, even with the 12 gigs of VRAM that were in it. But I had the 12 gigs of RAM, and that's going to hold me through for a good while.
Yeah.
I'll be fine. I don't need. Yeah. Just so far, there's nothing I can see where it's going to be a problem at the moment.
Yeah. It's just based on your needs in terms of gaming and what you want out there. But
I'm more likely to upgrade my processor and motherboard before I upgrade my graphics card again, which is still a lot of money, but not graphic card money.
Mm-mm.
Even upgrading that and the, because I'll have to upgrade the RAM.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've got to upgrade the processor, which means I've got to upgrade the motherboard. And so all of that will get upgraded, and it'll still be a small tiny fraction of the cost of one of these new graphics cards. It'll be a small fraction of the cost of one of the cards that are available today from the 4090 series or the 40 series that's being sold right now. It'll still be a fraction of the cost. Yeah. Whenever I have to do that.
Yeah, when you think about it, when you upgrade that thing, you're not buying it by itself. When you buy a processor, you're getting...
Sometimes you can, and in fact, I did it recently.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I upgraded my processor because it was still in the same socket family that was in that my motherboard could do. Mm-hmm. It was the last, and it was a surprise release. They didn't think that AMD was going to... They thought that that socket series was dead.
Mm-hmm.
People thought, no, 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 they've done the last of it. And then they had one little last breath that was... better, and I got a deal on it, and so yeah, it was a switch out, you know. I also switched it out when remember when my cooler died?
Yeah.
So I switched it out same time.
Okay,
I put the new cooler in, and I put a new processor in. So, but yeah, processor. There wasn't anything wrong with the processor. It was just I found a deal on a good one. It was better than what I had. Was going to help me. Probably not so much in gaming, but absolutely helping me in what I do with the video editing after the show. Anything that reduces the time on that is really nice. So, yeah, I have taken that down from being about 3.5 hours to now being about 2.5 hours with that. It's not great, but it'll continue to get better, you know, as processors do what they do. And, yeah, so anyway, just me rambling on. What do we have in the... I upgrade my phone every 2 to 3 years. Kind of depends on what the features are. AC Ray says budget phones for the win. I don't play games on them. All I need is battery life and video service access. I upgrade when they break or when the country infrastructure changes and companies decide they are broken. I can upgrade my CPU one generation further and it still won't be supported by Windows 11. Yeah, DLSS4... Evans is talking about. That was a new thing they put, new NVIDIA tech they put in their cards. Plus that, you know, I actually haven't looked at any reviews, and I really need to, but I have not read any reviews on the 5090, specifically with their AI frame generation that they're talking about, where they use the power of AI. I hate that phrase. By the power of AI. I have the power.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Yeah, right?
That was coming.
That's what it sounds like. About to turn him into Battle Cat. But yeah, with AI implementation, they're able to generate frames. And they're like, oh yeah, no, you can get 500 frames per second on this game. All right, now turn off the AI ability and tell me how many I'm going to get. Mm. You know? Stop. But as much as I'm saying this, I have not looked at the reviews.
Yeah.
So I really don't know what the legitimacy of that claim is. And I also don't know what the reviewers think of the legitimacy of that claim either. Because I don't know of anybody who has a 5090 or a 5080 because they sold out too fast. Stupid. All right, what's next? How about something nice? Let's talk about video game magazines. What do we have? It happened this week. What day was this? January 30th. The Video Game History Foundation announced it had a digital archive of video game history that is now available for free to the public. It claims that readers will have access to more than 30,000 curated files, with more on the way, of the physical collection of these magazines. More than 1,500 full-text, searchable, out-of-print video game magazines. The database has been in production since the Video Game History Foundation's founding in 2017. Not only will visitors find more magazines that they could hope to read in a lifetime, but also a treasure trove of rarely seen development documents, assets, artwork, and marketing materials. They link to a plethora of promotional materials for From Software Games, From Dark Souls box art to Armored Core stickers. I'm going to click on that and see what we get. Oh, wow. There's Bloodborne. There's Armored Core series, Dark Souls series, Demon Souls, Echo Knight. Frame Grid, Gride, something like that. Enchant Arm. Kingsfield series, Metal Wolf Chaos, Ninja Blade. I forgot From Software did Ninja Blade. There's Sekiro, the Rune series. Well, there's a lot. Shadow Tower, Tenchu. Tenchu is From Software?
Doesn't sound right.
Wait, are you kidding me? There's Tenchu 3. Let me look at the box art. It says From Software. Release poster for Tenchu 3 by From Software for PlayStation 2. I didn't know that From Software did Tenchu.
Yeah, news to me.
What? Dude. I had no idea. I am legit surprised on
stunned,
that.
Stunned, yep.
Did you see the link for it?
Yeah, I see the link. I'm looking at it.
Did you go through it?
I'm looking through it, yeah. I've looked through what you got there.
Wow. This author of this article says, I'll be flipping through the, and he provides a link, GamePro Press CD Collection. This collects all known press assets received by GamePro from 1995 to 2004. That's amazing. Oh, my goodness. So I'm looking at the files for the second CD that came with the GamePro free CDC. We had a game called Pitball and Bubsy 3D. That's how far back it goes. That's amazing. There's Midway for number 14. That one had Mortal Kombat Trilogy and Area 51 for the N64. This is just insane. Ooh, promotional materials. There's the Power Glove. This is worth looking through. If you want a nostalgia trip, that is absolutely worth looking through. And I'm going to put a link into the chat room there. That's insane. That's just amazing. There we go. I don't know, the Lethal Migraine says, what about Platinum? See if the Dragon game for Xbox that never came out is on there. Yes, I said Pitball, AC Wraith. That was in one of the GamePro CD add-on things that came with the magazine, and you've got that there for you to look at. Lethal Migraine, what you were saying about Platinum, given what I'm seeing here, I would say sure. Category, item type, names, subjects. I'm trying to find somewhere where I can sort it by like developer. So that you can look through that. But I put the link in there, Lethal, so just look it up, go there and see what you can find. Because I am not done exploring that, but I'm not going to use the rest of our 13 minutes here to explore the to explore that. All right. Seems we found out that Musk was boosting his account for Path of Exile 2 and Diablo 4. I don't know if that is a... I'm bringing this up for the fact that I understand when you're boosted, when you do account boosters and stuff like that, I think it's a bannable offense.
Yeah.
But will he get banned over it? And I'm not trying to say, oh, he's above the law or something like that. I'm coming from a place where I got banned for not doing anything at all. And so there's a little bit of retribution. There's a little bit of pettiness in my veins for that. Where it's like, well, if he was doing it, he needs to get banned too. Mm-hmm. Like he cares. Account boosting is when, what, you get somebody else to play for you, right? It's a form of cheating where a player logs into another player's account to raise or boost their rank to a higher tier, and it violates pretty much every live service video game's terms of service. Blizzard's end-user license agreement specifically warns players that account boosting or power leveling in exchange for payment is prohibited. Right. That's the other thing. If somebody was really good that, you know, I knew and I had them come over and play on my account, that's still wrong to do, but it's not going against their terms of service in a sense that somebody across the way on another side of the country that I paid for did it.
I was about to say, and money's not involved in this.
Right. There's no monetary exchange. Musk admitted this week, that he had his account boosted on Diablo 4 and Path of Exile 2. And of course they have had tons of questions about what that's going to mean for him. As far as, are you going to ban him? You're going to throw the infractions on him. So far the developers for Path of Exile 2 have declined to comment, and Blizzard has also declined to comment, saying it does not comment on individual player account behaviors or enforcements. That's fine. They're sticking to their guns. It'd be the same thing if they were asking Bungie about those bans. They're like, we don't talk about, we don't talk about bans. Which is dumb. Well, no, maybe it's not. You should talk about bans with the people that you banned. You know?
Mm-hmm.
When you've got the proof, show them the proof. You know, where you can say, we have this evidence that points that you... broke our terms of service, rather than, you know what you did, that's the end of the conversation. Because that's basically what they told me. It's like, you know, and I was like, no, dude, I don't. Yeah. And we're not, and they're like, and if you ask us again, you could get further banning from, you know, all of Bungie titles from here on out, which at this point I'm like, well, that's not going to hurt me at all.
Yeah.
But they are just not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
They do not talk about it.
I think about YouTube. They get grief all the time about the way they handle their strike notification thing, don't they? Like the way to but you can at least negotiate and get a message to someone about what can be done about it. Can't you?
I know.
But like you said, your situation was we banned you. We ain't gonna tell you why. You're done.
That's it. And if you want to know further about it, then be careful asking, because we will take further action against you if you continue to press the subject.
Yeah.
Yeah. Musk's self-proclaimed gaming prowess was brought into question as players began to take a closer look at his performance and knowledge of the games he plays. It's a shame. I mean, he's got to know. Elon has been messing around with the internet long enough to know that people will dig. They'll find out when they want to find out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially if you're a celebrity.
They will look into it. Some had questioned whether Musk was capable of dedicating the huge amount of time that would be needed to reach such high levels in both games, given his commitments to all of the things that he does. This man is far too busy to be sitting there grinding in Diablo 4 or Path of Exile 2 or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then an early January live stream that saw Elon tackling in-game tasks in Path of Exile 2 drew criticism from fans who said that he failed to demonstrate a basic understanding of the game's mechanics. Many had assumed that Musk might have been paying others to boost his character form, and it proved out. A video that was posted on Sunday by a Diablo player, gives a name here, showed a direct message conversation with Musk on X in which Musk admits to account boosting. insisting it was the only way to compete with players in Asia. They asked, have you level boosted and or purchased gear or resources for Path of Exile 2 and Diablo 4? Musk responded with a 100% emoji. He later added, it's impossible to beat the players in Asia if you don't, as they do. But when I post a video of a game or am streaming, that's 100% me, he added. Well, yeah, I would imagine that. Musk was asked whether he intended to take credit for having a high-level hardcore Path of Exile 2 character. He said, no, never claim that, he replied. The top accounts in Diablo or Path of Exile require multiple people playing the account to win a leveling race. Huh. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Who knows if they're going to do that? Probably they won't. It's very likely that they won't take any action against him. Mm-hmm. Which, I'm not going to sit here and cry foul. For one, I don't play those games. Mm-hmm. And for two, why would I expect it any different? At that point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, fine. Let's see, what else do we have here? I'm reading the chat room. Oh, okay. Oh, I see. That was an autocorrect issue, Lethal Migraine. There was... Chat said, hey, we're not going to do that. And then I allowed it to go through. All right, what else? I don't know. We've gone through the news. We've jumped through it. Seems like all of it.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything else that we need to touch on, then that's fine.
Hmm.
Marvel Snap found a new publisher. That's good for them.
Mm-hmm.
There is a Beyond Two Souls TV show in the works. There apparently is a Sleeping Dogs film in the works that's been going around.
I would rather watch the Sleeping Dogs one.
There's a whole series of Like a Dragon on Amazon Prime that I have not touched or watched.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm a little bit, I don't want to say nervous, intimidated maybe. Because I know nothing of those games. So I feel like jumping into that series is probably going to be really bad to do. I also don't know how well the series is received.
Yeah.
And more so among the gamers who would watch that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the gamers watch it and they're like, it's not great.
Well, that's the thing. You try to, when you go into a project like this, walk the fence between satisfying the hardcore gaming public and the casual fan who knows absolutely nothing about the series.
Exactly. I knew nothing about it.
Yeah, you're trying to appease both at the same time. So not easy to do.
Trying to think of
can
another.
Can be done though.
Yeah, I'm trying. Well, there
can
are.
Be done.
Yeah, there are
can
other.
Be done.
There are other games or other media, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
There are people I know who haven't watched the Arcane series.
Yeah.
Because they don't know League of Legends, and I'm like, you don't have to.
Yeah.
That and so I would love if that's the case with Like a Dragon. I don't necessarily know if it is, but that'd be great if it was. Mm-hmm. But there is Vox Machina on Amazon Prime as well. It's an animated thing from the Riot guys. Still yeah. League of Legends, I think. But again, I haven't touched it because I'm also like, I don't know. But yet it worked for me with Arcane, so I should give that a shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember all I could about Beyond Two Souls.
You don't remember it?
I mean, I remember the game itself. I'm trying to think of that. Remember that ending that it was.
You had two choices.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could either go.
I don't think I liked either one of them.
No, I didn't either. One of them was the good choice. You know, one of them was good. One of them, I think, was bad, honestly.
Yeah.
I think it was very, very cut and dry.
Yeah, it was a lesser. It felt like a lesser two evils type of choice at the end, really.
And I didn't like that.
You know what? I prefer Heavy Rain. Did they make a show off of Heavy Rain?
Did they? No, they didn't.
I don't think they should.
Oh, I agree.
I would prefer the a Heavy Rain show instead of Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah. Detroit did the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, Beyond Two Souls felt like the only misstep that they had in that regard, because they had done so well with Heavy Rain. And then they did Beyond Two Souls. And then it was like, this feels... Compared to what we got with Heavy Rain, which was, I don't know how many endings you got from that thing. Mm-hmm. Tons.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond Two Souls was very much pick left or pick right.
Yeah.
That was it. There wasn't a bunch of different directions you could go, and we are out of time. That came up with me very quickly here. Hey, everybody, we got to go. Here's music from Astrobot. Have a great week. I'm sorry it came up on me real quick. Have a fantastic weekend, guys. Thank you so much for watching and supporting us. We'll be back next Saturday with more. This is the Crash Site from Astrobot. Have a good one.